are listening to the Local Earshot Podcast with your host, Jonathan Grissom. Let's talk about music.
Hello, everybody. This is Jonathan Grissom of the More Bands Media and the Local Earshot Podcast. I am here with David Carlisle, and a little bit about David is that he's pretty active inside the scene here in Oklahoma City, and he also has been in several bands. And I think one of them is currently is the Giraffe Massacre. Is that one that you're currently?
Yeah, that's my main band.
Okay,
it's not really active right now. We did release a track. About a month ago or so, but I'm not really doing anything.
Yeah, you're just hanging out.
I'm just hanging out.
Playing at home.
In a way, maybe this year will bring something exciting.
Yeah.
I'll fall into something or rekindle an old band.
Yeah, perhaps. Well, I mean, I've seen, what is it? You were in some bands with Ron, was it?
Anomalous.
Anomalous, and were you in Kingdom of Ashes, or was that some?
No, that's Micah.
Okay.
And
okay.
Three quarters of the band was in another band.
Oh, okay. Yeah, they're really, really good. They're all really good bands. Anomalous, I saw them at I saw you guys at what was it? Diamond Ballroom.
Oh yeah,
was
yeah.
That show that
that was my first time playing that.
Yeah, that was a really, really good show. And I think that it kind of puts that whole perspective out there for other, people coming into music of local music. That there is talent out here, because a lot of times when those bands play the Diamond Ballroom, a lot of them they definitely don't put people on in the crowd at that you guys did when you played, actually getting into it and stuff. Usually they ignore them and they go out in the back and smoke and stuff while the locals are playing, and then they'll come in during the major bands, or they won't even show up to the venue until after the local bands have played at Diamond. So a lot of times people show up late. So
yeah,
anyway, I'm still waking up. So
samesies.
It only took us 2 hours to set all this up. So
it's a true story. I was here watching them.
Yeah. It's insane. The whole video stuff is just driving me nuts.
No, it looks good. I think it's going to turn out very well.
Yeah. So I feel like I'm on what is it? The SNL Sweaty Balls.
SNL Sweaty Balls. I'm not sure if I've seen that one yet.
You've never seen that one? On a radio show and they're talking to each other and they both have that radio voice where they're all like oh yeah, I really like to cook things for the season.
I can only imagine.
Very NPR, sounding.
All right.
Yeah. So what do you want to talk about? Because we talk about stuff, music, all the time.
Yes.
In person. But I feel like whenever you get somebody on camera or in audio form even.
It is quite strange.
That they tend to...
A little alienating.
They tend to shut down.
My brain just completely stopped. I was like, oh, fuck.
Yeah. Oh, fuck. I'm on video. Which I'm getting used to it because I used to do make little videos and stuff like that.
You definitely jumped into it. You seized it. You carp DM'd it. I was like, oh God, he's going. Let me catch up with you.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's one of those, I could be I've noticed that a lot of the podcasters that I watch that I take notes from on how they do business, that there's ones that literally look at the camera. They'll have markers, that little red dot. Mm. You look at that red dot all the time, you're looking right at the camera. But it's but then we have a camera over here, over there. There's another backup camera.
I don't know what's paparazzi. Holy shit.
Yeah. So, yeah, right? It is paparazzi. They're everywhere. They just there's a dude over there that just jumped out of the fucking closet with a camera.
In my home?
Yeah, in your house. That's called an intruder.
Atreyu? Go get him.
It's called an intruder. You got to watch out for those guys. But yeah, it's definitely a setup. And then I had to get this little controller because apparently you can't just hook up cameras right to a computer and it work together all the time. Yeah. It just malfunctions and treats them like webcams, and the quality's not that great. And so I ended up having to spend like $200 on a controller. And the controller I want, though, like, I don't know, you know the brand Roland? Looks like a lot of audio equipment, like what is it, like pianos and stuff is their main thing. I don't know what their main product is, but I know that they have a lot of different instruments.
Instrumentation, for that matter, at the very least. But at the same time, I think it's like a Chinese or Japanese company, so they probably make a little bit of everything, some soaps and you know, bath bombs, as well as remote controls and keyboards.
Yeah. So that's weird in a way.
They don't specialize in audio equipment. I was at the dentist, and there was a teeth whitening thing, and it said Philips on the side of it. And you think of like Philips TVs.
Oh, yeah, yeah. What do you call it? The brushing?
Yeah. Well, it's actually just like hydrogen peroxide and some other element.
Oh, it's so just it's a little chemical. Click pin.
But it says Philips.
Huh. Yeah. This thing, it's like a Roland video mixer, but it has all the plugs for all your cameras. And then it also has all your audio play, your audio inputs for all your XLRs. Yeah. And so, like, you can just hook it all in, and then you can control it right from the unit.
That's brilliant.
Whereas we're running a mixer, a laptop, and a controller, and that thing can do it all. And you can set the pre-videos, and you can set a laptop input on it, so then you can roll in like the other stuff, the like if you look at websites and things like that for a show. You can bring all that in too. So it's a really cool product, but it's like $2,000 or something. So I don't have $2,000.
Oh yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Maybe you got a friend or something.
I mean, you know, maybe I need to rob a bank or no, that's not the right way. That's not the right way to do it.
Yeah. OnlyFans, man.
I mean, fucking, you know, hey, you know what?
Wiener pics.
Hey, you know, feet, you know, apparently feet is the...
I don't know if feet is all that hot anymore.
I'm not into
feet. I think it's hot dogs.
I think feet are gross.
Next to feet.
Yeah, it's disgusting. Food and feet is even worse than just feet. Like a lot of people, I understand that people have their kinks, but feet to me are disgusting. Like they are just like an object that, like, you know, it's like when you walk around on the ground and stuff and they're always in a dirty ass shoe. Like, yeah, I don't know how anybody can be like, yeah, that's hot. Like, I don't know. It's not my thing.
Maybe that's the allure, is the forbidden grossness of it.
It's gross. It'd be like into two girls in one cup or something like that. It's freaking disgusting stuff.
That's really gross too. Especially, I don't know if there's like a good poo versus a bad poo, but that's most poo, I would agree, is bad poo.
So, okay. So let's get into this. So when did you actually first start getting into like music and stuff like that?
Right. So I can either start this with when I started playing guitar, my influences, or something I heard on the radio, or I could talk about when I finally got into a band and found musicians to play with, which I guess I would just be like high school. Obviously, it's high school. Ran into some dudes. I loved fucking metal, like death metal. I loved it so much. I was just an elitist, hater, gatekeeper person because it was my thing. Mm-hmm. It's like fucking... you guys are all listening to pussy music.
Yeah, so you're that guy that like looked at me and said that all the bands I listen to because they're radio bands.
Name
you're like,
three
you're
songs.
Like, yeah, well, even that's even worse. Like I actually hate those people that do that to people.
Yeah,
and I've never seen it happen. Like I've never, like I always thought that was fake.
But then
a bunch of girls at ACM were saying that they literally got put on the spot like that multiple times, and I'm like, is there really douchebag dudes out there asking girls to name three songs because of a band shirt? Yeah. It's like I can't even name three songs. And I literally interviewed these guys. I can't even name all the songs of like
of the Rumble.
Rumble. And I interviewed them like 3-4 weeks ago, you know. And I've listened to all their albums. Like I don't know the names of all their songs. Like I don't.
I was a kid. I was just young and stupid. And it was my club. And at the time, like metal was not, you know, popular. And I'm 40, so we're talking circa 99. Like there's a gaggle of kids that were wearing black t-shirts with like Slayer or Korn on it. Mm-hmm. And you're like, yeah, man, these are our homies. And we come from the trailer and like we got the jocks and all that shit.
Yeah.
Didn't quite necessarily look at it like that, but it was like, if you're going to wear a fucking Pantera shirt, you better fucking love Pantera because I love Pantera. And for you to walk around parading it like it's a fashion statement or something, like, I don't know. It was just really silly.
I have a few bands that I wear, but I actually listen to them. Like I have a Slayer shirt that I got.
Fucking love Slayer.
Well, I got a so I mean, it's actually, I don't know, you might have heard the story before because I've said it on the show before, but because actually, like, David's a major listener of our show, which I like. It was weird whenever we actually were talking one day and then we realized that, like, he listens to my show and been listening to
often,
it for a while,
all the time.
So, but like on there, like, okay, so like when I worked at Live Nation, I was doing a venue, helping venue management. I was like right under the main, there was like the main managers of the venue. They were regional, so like they would go venue to venue.
Yeah.
And then there was the in-house manager, which was in charge of security and was in charge of all the event staff in the building. And her name is Sanja. Like she was amazing, amazing manager. During one of the shows, we were having Slayer at the Fillmore Auditorium in Denver.
Oh, great.
And so right before the show started, I ran over to the merch booth because I asked my boss. I was like, "Hey, I'm working Barricade. Can I go work? Can I go grab a shirt real quick?"
Yeah.
And they were like, "Yeah, man." And I was like, "Cool." And then so I ran over and I got my shirt and I put on my Slayer shirt and then I put on my work shirt over it, right? So I had a Slayer shirt under it and I had my work shirt, right?
Yeah.
And then I go over to the Barricade. And the main manager of the Barricade, that's like our, like, a lot of times it went by seniority of like experience. So like this guy is like an older guy, but like he is very experienced in Barricade. But whenever he looked at me and he saw me do that, when he got his Slayer shirt, he's like, "Wait, you're a metalhead?" And I was like, "Yeah, dude." Like, I was like, "Fuck yeah." And I was like, "What do you like?" And he goes, "Why, what's up?" And he goes, can you like run the gate? That comes into the barricade, like comes out of the Barricade.
Sure.
Because you gotta be able to push people and you gotta be okay with that. Which a lot of metal people, like, we're just like bumping into each other and stuff. So I had my foot locked on and I was like sitting upward on this gate. And I was like standing, but like I would like literally just push into it and I would say, "Go!" And then these people would run out back into the crowd. And then they get up and they crowd surf and they go right back into the Barricade.
No, I see
and right when they hit the
about.
Barricade, they pull them down and then they force them out. So then they would have to come around through my gate and stuff like that. And the whole time while I was like doing this, I was like horns up, just rocking out every song, just rocking out, right? And
you're a fucking cowboy, basically. Right?
Yeah, it was fun. Yeah, basically, wrangling, I mean, that's what you're doing. You're wrangling fans. Fucking people. Yeah, like trying to get them out of there before the bulls hit, you know. And so I'm doing this And like right at the end of the show, we start our cleanup procedures, which is everybody gets out of the venue, and then which a lot of people don't really understand how it really works. Like whenever you leave a venue, people trash those places. Like there's like drinks everywhere on the ground, all this kind of stuff. So what they do is a lot of times is if it's not seating and they have to go in between the seats and clean it all up, kind of like a movie theater. If there's no seats, then what they do is they take these big brooms and they just throw it to all the workers and all the event staff just go around cleaning up the venue together. And that includes a lot of times your sound people, your stagehands, just everybody that was a part of the putting on the show. We all work together, all the bartenders, everybody just works together to clean up the venue.
I suppose that's a good effort.
And so it's just a team thing, you know, and so like we were cleaning up and like right whenever I got off work, I pulled off my shirt because it was all covered in sweat and stuff, so I pulled it off and I had the Slayer shirt on.
Yeah.
And this like traveling stagehand with Slayer goes, "Hey," and I was like, "What?" That's and what? I looked up and he's like, "Hey, come here."
Oh shit.
And I was like, "Okay." And I was like, "Come up on stage." So I jumped up on the stage, like, because we just lift ourselves up and jump up. I jump up on stage. He's like, "Hey, I want you to meet somebody."
Oh, boy.
And I mean, I was like deer in headlights. We went to the back part of the venue and I got to meet Slayer.
Hell yeah.
And I got to shake all their hands. Yes. And I didn't know what to say.
Right.
Like, I was just like, "You guys are so awesome." I was like, so I mean, to say that, like, a lot of people, you know, you try to be professional, and a lot of times, like, I would talk to music artists, but that was whenever I was in the work mode brain. Mm-hmm. But whenever somebody puts you into the fan brain out of nowhere, 100%. Like, like every person that I know that's ever worked in venues, they always get starstruck whenever you go in there and you're just like, holy crap. Like, that was awesome. And so, like, I got to meet them and stuff, and that was probably one of the coolest things that I've done.
No, that's brilliant.
In that venue, you know. So definitely enjoyed it.
To one of my first experiences with Slayer. It's a lot of the same. I don't get that way anymore, unfortunately, like starstruck.
Yeah.
And it's a shame, but yeah, dude, fucking, they played at the Diamond one time, and like their bus was out there, and Kerry King was like right fucking there with his bald head.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't have anything except for like these shell top Adidas shoes.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, well, I had him sign my ticket stub, and then I was like, will you sign my shoe?
So like, you have a signature.
Your shoe? All right, bud. And I was like, okay. And then like they were like my only shoes, so I ended up skating off the fucking signature. But still, it's just like, what do you do? Like,
get a napkin?
What do you do like with
I don't know. Like, okay, so like...
rock stars and shit.
Yeah, like, I mean, like, I don't know. Cause
are you
like,
eating okay? Like, have you spoke to your mom? You have a dog at home?
Asking a, like, personal question.
Yeah.
How's your family?
They don't want to talk about... Well, I mean, they don't want to talk about...
Yeah.
Know, it's like...
Well, and that's one interesting thing about this format is that, like, what I learned is that not all music artists want to talk about music when they're in this environment, and yet, like, the whole point of this environment is to expose the interview of music, you know? And, but sometimes they want to talk about other subjects that are happening in the world, or they want to talk about, like, political stuff. Sometimes they want to talk about political stuff. I don't really do the political stuff, mainly because, like, I'm not going to destroy my cancel myself
that,
because I'm a libertarian. Well, so, like, and I'm openly a libertarian type. I'm literally a registered Democrat. Fair. And, like, and a lot of people on the Republican side that listen to the show, they don't like that. But it's like, but you know what? It doesn't mean I always vote that way. Sometimes I vote the other way. So,
personally,
like, you know,
it's just by the issue. I think it's also convoluted and it pulls people away with these titles that nothing really gets done.
Mm-hmm.
So I can't attach myself to anything. I mean, I'm a forward thinking person. I'm a logical person.
Right.
But I can't be lumped into just one thing. You know, it's like, well, no, I don't agree with all the policies of this person or those policies. So, like, if you want to have a discussion, let's talk about exactly what it is, whether it's social issues or economics, defense, you know,
right, whatever the subject is,
then we can work out something and we'll find out pretty quickly that we're probably thinking the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
And there's no reason to dismiss another person just because.
No, it's just to see the world from their perspective and understand their point of view of why they think the way that they think.
Yes.
And a lot of times when I was inside the military, like we would get in those discussions. Sometimes it would get heated.
Mm-hmm.
But it's like, but at the end of the day, we'd all just tap beers and hang out, you know, and stuff. Yeah. And so that's why I feel like that doesn't really happen anymore in society. People just like lump people out and shut them out. Kind of like what we were talking about before the show, how like, you know, like the whole cancel stuff where people just cancel people and
cancel
it's like, and just cancel to cancel. I mean, that's that they're like, oh, I didn't like that person, so I'm just going to, you know, cancel them. And
that one's a good and bad one.
Oh, okay. Never mind. That's good. Anyway, that's my stupidity. I'm looking at the screen and it says start recording, and I'm like, why does that show start recording in that? Because I had my finger like this.
Yeah.
And it shows start recording, but it's already running a recording.
Oh, okay.
So it's still recording. But anyway, yeah, I'm still trying to get the kinks worked out on that stuff. But it'd be nice to have a studio. So if you know anybody that has a studio,
you'll get it worked out.
Yeah. But my thing is, I was actually looking at a, I don't know, I'm jumping around now, but I was looking at this this location in what do you call it? So it's at Bethany. And this building is like $1,500, right? But it has 6 offices. And it's $1,500 a month, but there's like 6-7 offices, has a main area for like meetings and stuff.
Yeah.
Like basically my idea would be that, if I could find tenants to fill those offices, I could turn ones into studios because they already have that kind of setup look. And then turn, have one for the main room as like a meeting area for like just things that people can do, like for certain
talking
things.
About like rehearsal spots for
like,
people?
Well, that yes could have like a room for that, room for podcasting, have a room that like, where like artists can like sit down and actually like do like classes on like how to do things and you know, like how to do, you know,
sounds like a huge
publishing things like
but
that, but could, but I think if I had the right people together, putting our money together, we could probably make it happen. You know,
Yeah.
And just be like a business. But right now I'm just trying to get the video off the ground because I figure if I can do that, then YouTube and other platforms that do video, then I can start doing like Facebook Live or other videos type stuff. And then I can start making like a, like one of the things what I was doing, the reason why I'm interviewing venues right now mainly is because I'm trying to make a like a contact control where like I can bring them bands to play and then just ask them for one day a month. Basically just give me one day a month and every week I'd be at a different venue, but they give me that day. So then I book the artist, or I help them book the artist, and then we bring them in, and then just do a full like a actual like feature of those artists, and then like and do it that way through there. So I have one venue is in Common Norman, which he would let me do it, and then a few other ones that around the city. Like I was I'm be interviewing Leah from like A Gallery, and stuff because I have art in there.
It's
and stuff.
Her birthday today.
Yeah, yeah. Happy birthday.
Happy birthday, Leah.
I don't know if you'll see this before. It might be recorded after when I finally put it out, but you know, hey, happy birthday. But yeah, like, and then Destiny from, and Phil from Grand Royale.
Grand Royale. Just,
and then a few other.
Diatribe.
And then try to get a few other, you know, ones on deck for it. A lot of these people I've added as admins. I forget if I added you or not as an admin of the group, but, I think I did because it's because these are people that, like, I trust that I could bring in. Yeah. And they're not going to try to do anything to like destroy what I'm trying to build, you know,
exactly.
And they're going to actually help me. They're not going to hurt it. I've actually been offered to do the show at Incom in Norman. The problem is,
what is Incom?
So, Incom is, originally, so there's a building next to it. It's called Norman Computers. And,
Is this,
did that go on standby too?
Oh no.
I mean, this one's still recording, but I don't know if it's still recording. Might still be recording. I don't know.
Curse the gods.
Well, I'm wondering if the it's plugged in the power, so I don't know. Unless that power plug.
That was my favorite one. It had like really good lights on it.
Oh, I'm gonna get up and check it real quick.
Yeah, I saw that fellow the other day. The.
It's the one I'm having the most trouble with, and I think it's a settings thing. I need to get JD.
Yeah.
So that's kind of my issue right now is that I need.
Can that be connected to a computer?
And yes. Yeah, I can connect the wire just like it is here to that camera. I can run it to that one too.
Like so. My pedals sometimes, or even my phone, you can like mess with the settings inside of it. I don't know.
I'll look it up because I want to make sure that one actually gets good recordings. But that camera and also like pictures and stuff because I can do pictures with that. And I can have a clicker or I can control it from like there, you know, from like a little Bluetooth clickers and hit a button and it'll start taking pictures and stuff. But anyway.
Hello.
Jumping all over the place this episode. Basically, like, I need almost a team to be able to do this, and you know, on a big level.
That's
why
big.
I'm trying to. But I also need to make money to do it, and so like, and with school and work and everything like that, starting to become a task to be able to do it. And stuff, and at the same time, like, you know, like, there's nothing wrong with ACM if you're like new to the music industry and you're young, I get it, like, but you know, like, but I have been having some second thoughts about like going there right now just because of the fact that, like, you know, the stuff I'm learning, I kind of have already read the books.
But
the projects are helpful, like the projects I'm doing. And we're supposed to like do some stuff, you know, in classes that are related to the actual field. And so I think if we're doing that more field work, I think that that's the better way to teach a college like that is to I think it's messed up that, you know, a elementary school student can go to sign a release form and go on a thing of like a museum, you know,
field trip.
And like a field trip. But yet you can't do a field trip at an event and have people sit in, like sound engineers sit in with sound engineers. They don't do any of that kind of stuff there. Like it seems like you'd want people other than your practicum and your internship to like be around that stuff, yeah. You know, like, and actually like have it directly in it. So then you're like, I'm learning from the actual skills that I need to know to be able to do live sound, or I'm learning the skills that I need to do these things. So I think more of a textual, like a tech school style way of doing it is probably better, like, because it's more hands-on, you know. Yeah. And it's a hands-on field. I mean, like, that's one thing I did notice. Just like I also noticed that whenever I was in the class for where we made like covers and album covers and stuff for music.
Cool. Okay.
Yeah, like I thought it was funny because I watched Circling the Square. Have you ever seen that? It's like a documentary on Netflix. It's about how the guys that worked with Pink Floyd made their album covers.
Oh, no, I definitely haven't
Yeah,
seen that.
And it's it's pretty legit.
With the pig flying.
Yeah, the pig flying.
The burning and, guy. And
yep.
The wall.
And then what do you call it? There was another artist where, like, they took multiple photos of something in multiple locations. Mm-hmm. And of the same on the same set of rocks, and it was like somebody's kid, I guess. Huh. But like they took multiple pictures of this like kids and stuff on this all these rocks, and then they took like scissors and they printed them all out and they started cutting them all and they started putting them together, and then it became like this collage of like all these different movements of the same characters. So like, but those are old ways of making covers. Nowadays, it's just digital, and they go on Photoshop and they say generate a bar behind this person, and suddenly it generates a bar. And
or like, you find a picture of a foot.
Yeah, a yeah, or yeah. Well, right now you got like a scene going there, but
curse the gods. Twist around. Oh my god! Come on now. There we go.
Yeah.
Yes,
so.
That is my art.
Yeah, that's a foot. I don't know if you could see it, but I'll probably post a photo. But yeah, there's a foot for some reason. I think I'm pretty sure it's a dead person that they murdered, but you know, whatever.
I think it's an autopsy photo.
Oh, is it? Yeah. Yeah. Of somebody you murdered? Or like,
no, man.
No, man.
I didn't fucking do it, dude. I wasn't even there.
There's no evidence. I wasn't there.
God damn it.
Yeah. But yeah, no, so I was looking at a place though to like kind of an idea to just like get people together that are trying to do similar things, and then turning it into like an agency, so then like people can just come and get all the stuff that they need, you know. But like if they need a photographer, you're like, oh well, I got three, you know, like, or we have this person, kind of like how record labels do it. But like, I don't know, because I mean, I also own the website More Bands Records, mm-hmm. Which is a future plan. I also own More Bands Radio. That's actually a more plan coming up soon.
What would you do with that, with the radio? Is it like a playlist perhaps?
So online radios, right? Like there's a bunch of them popping up now. There's Rock the Range. There's
like college radio kind of dealies.
kind of similar. They're online. But you can
KXP, yeah, from Seattle.
But some of them you can the online radio stations that are independent, like the main thing is because you get the license to do the music stuff, and then you don't have to worry about getting hit with copyrights do with podcasting.
Yeah, sounds like the spy in a way with some of the stuff that they do.
Yeah, and so like one of them, they go to like Radio King is one of the websites. There's Radio CO, and then there's like there's a couple other ones. But basically you go on there, you create that, you can load it with like if like the podcast, right?
Yeah.
I can load other podcasts to it, and I can also load music, independent artists that submit music. I can put their music in it, right? And then make it where in between at certain times of the day or something, it just plays certain episodes of like different music podcast.
Right.
So then when somebody's listening to it, they're like, oh, there's bands, and then there's like podcasts about music and stuff like that. Similar to like a normal radio station does radio shows and stuff. The Cat's doing interviews now with music artists on their local show.
I think the Cat makes sense because it's an FM radio station, mm-hmm. and it's never going to go away. Whereas some of these playlists get, or concepts like that get lost. I like the playlist thing that's on Spotify,
mm-hmm.
that Make Oklahoma Weirder does.
Yeah.
Because they're highlighting Oklahoma bands, or even for that matter, Oklahoma Rock Show,
mm-hmm.
and their showcase. So
yeah, I like the Oakland Rock Show. I actually need to. I'm going to be on his show. But we just haven't figured it out yet. He was going to come on the podcast.
Oh, really?
back whenever me and Brad were doing it together.
Yeah,
he was going to come on, and we just could never match schedules. So, but I figured that if I work with him,
yes,
then I can do a cross promotional episode where,
oh, 100%.
Where like we're interviewing each other, you know, and so then it becomes one of those, like, I put it on my feed, he puts it on his, and then we both kind of a win-win.
100%.
And so then we can put those episodes out, or an episode out that talks about like what we do with the whole interviewing thing, and then what he does with like building, curating playlist for the Oklahoma Rock Show on the cat. So but yeah, I mean, it's just more of a communal environment, like getting everybody connected and bringing everybody together to work together to kind of build the scene here instead of like just doing what it's always done, which is it builds up and then it breaks down, and it builds up and it breaks down, because everybody just gets so, I don't know, they get at each other's throats sometimes out here, which is crazy.
I think it's just hard to say, like, I know I've listened to you talk about Tulsa and Oklahoma and the variations of Oklahoma, people are more likely to get out, and Tulsa people, like the locals, will come support. But I think there's something happening here in the sense of like the sanctuary and hardcore, for that matter, and art, music, and even the hip hop, if you will. I don't know. It is splintered. And it's, I don't know. It could also relate to Oklahoma just being a small populated place, so it could be difficult. But there's always new crops of musicians coming out and coming up, moving in, moving out. I don't know. I'm trying not to be pessimistic about it.
Oh no, I'm trying to be positive too. But I've also almost like thought about shutting down the show like four times so far since I started doing it by myself.
I think it's a matter of just like,
just because of the fact that that just
focusing, yeah, what your intent is and where you can really help people. And for me, I think helping people is like what you talked about, like doing business for people,
mm-hmm,
you know, creating their flyers, how to speak with managers, booking agents, how to like showcase your band and your talent, mm-hmm, you know, proper editing techniques, copyright, like the whole gamut of music business.
Yeah.
Like it's overlooked. Once I started booking, I started seeing a lot more raw approaches, and I was like, these people are not aware of it. Like for me, like I did go to school and I've had experience with it. I've done tons of DIY shows, but there needs to like a type of education, like a different ACM, if you will, a DIY.
Yeah.
ACM is what is needed.
Yeah. Which is what ACM originally was a DIY thing. And then it turned into ACM. And it seems like once they turn into a college thing, they kind of get kind of different because they get controlled.
It definitely got
a little more
weird, and it sucked because it got all I don't want to say commercial, but like you just said, scholarly. It's like you can't, you know, hang out in the little computer room and like goof off, but it's like this is actually the scene of musicianship and camaraderie, like Oral Canyon or Laurel Canyon, if you, mm-hmm, will, when all those hippies are like hanging out and sharing songs and smoking weed and just goofing off. Like that's, we had a vibe like that. Like, I fucking play death metal and math rock, and then I need a country dude and a hip-hop dude over here, and would just be, like, just vibing. And that culture's not there. So if there's, like, a way to facilitate that, and that's what I think is going on with, like, places like The Sanctuary, is there's an opportunity for people to express themselves in a true community in an organic way.
Mm-hmm.
But then you're like, how do I make money?
Yeah, and that's the part that I
but
run into.
But you can
into.
Make money.
Yeah, I mean, you can make a lot of money doing music if you're doing like the
fucking managing, like setting up shows. It's just, yeah, so simple for somebody.
Yep.
Like, I get these messages from, and I don't want to discredit bands and say that they're not good, but they're lower level bands. And then I get emails from people who are just like, here's my band, take it. And I know that they're going to get 10%. And all, mm-hmm, they have to do is just send out a blanket email, and then they're getting paid.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's just so easy. Like, just a fucking template, shoot it out. I've got, like, fucking 15 bands from all over the fucking states.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, whatever it is, like, there is a way to make money. For me, like, for bands, I'm like, you need to make merchandise. But for, like, a person like yourself, you know, obviously it's going to get into sponsorships or some type.
Right. Well, and that's the thing, is that the whole point of value for value, and I mean, there's something to be said about it, but I also feel like that it only works if people actually donate, you know? And early on, we did have that.
There's got to be value.
Yeah. And that's the thing, is that, and the thing is with the music stuff, like, I mean, the only value you're really offering is that you're exposing people to bands. But if you're, if you start exposing them behind the scenes, having
a conversation like this, like if you were to cut up this episode and really just highlight what it's about, not in a clickbait manner, but just like, here, I'm having this interview with David Carlisle. He's a local musician that's been playing for, you know, 20 years. And this is his insight of how to do it and what to and what not to do.
Right.
And then like, you know, that's the clickbait. And then like the ads are like local shit, you know, which does take time, you know, like, I don't know, like fucking, say like Hala Truck down here, you know, like True Culture, like fucking,
yeah,
it's like, hey man, I'll run your ad for some musicians that love your food,
yeah,
because they're going to get tips on like how to wire up your pedal properly so that you don't sound like ass, or feedback, or like mixing tips, and I don't know, there's a lot.
Yeah
That's just
I know that people enjoyed like a lot of the artist side of it. They enjoyed the gearhead stuff that Brad and what's his name would like, or his other buddy would it like always talk about that stuff, and it's even in the room, like I'd be dumbfounded.
I'm
lost,
falling asleep listening.
Like,
to that shit.
Yeah, I'm like I like
to hear about the scene. I like to hear the tootiness, like who's booking what, like the numbers, and like just knowing it's down the street. It's like some shit happened at Blue Note. Like we can talk about that. This is some tasty. What do you call that? Like spiciness. Like the fucking Battle of the Bands deal, and then the next thing you know,
you're talking about, yeah. So you're talking about the thing where
the
like
plagiarism,
where there was a Battle of the Bands at A Gallery or A Point A Gallery
for Leah.
Yeah, for Leah, and I went to that one. It was actually a really good show. You know, I hope because I haven't heard anything back from it, but we did have a girl fall out during the show. I don't know why. I don't know
fall
if she just
down?
Like she was in a chair, and I looked over, and being somebody that used to work in venues, I knew that there was something wrong.
Oh, okay.
But I thought maybe she was just sleeping on her boyfriend, so I was just about to say, hey, maybe you guys need to go tell her to wake up because she can't be sleeping in a bar or venue. Yeah. Right. And in an area where like they serve, you know, they're like serving booze with donation, I think is how they're doing it there right now, as private events.
Yes.
But yeah, she was like on her head was laying against the wall, and she fell backwards in her chair and slipped right out of the chair. And as she was falling,
like a noodle.
Yeah. Basically, and like, but she hit her head on the wall, she hit it on the chair, and then she hit it on the ground, like all three. And her boyfriend was like, "Oh crap!" and like went to go grab her. And these two, you know, shout out to them. These two punk rocker kids, they ran in there and they grabbed her and they made sure she was all right and everything and got her going. We ended up calling me and another person ended up calling medical to come out and stuff, and so I held the door open. It was freezing that night. That was whenever it was like negative temperatures and stuff. Like it was really cold out. Like
really
10 degrees, I think, was like the highest the temperature.
I'm probably
and
gonna
so,
be there tonight. Checking yeah, that place out.
Yeah, I mean it's a pretty
the
cool
scene
little
of the
spot.
Crime.
Yeah,
see if there's any blood.
It's no.
I'm
blood.
Not trying to be negative.
No, but but yeah. So we went there.
They locked down a show like months ahead, like Charlie Canty. And ironically, Blue Note, and it like this is like kind of against my own interest because I work for Chris Simons at Lost Highway,
right?
So inadvertently, like I'm connected to Red,
yeah.
But like it is what it is, you know. Like this fucking band locked down this concept. It's like band versus band, two piece, and then the next thing you know, like Blue Note's got a show. It's like some fucking Royal and this other band were playing. Versus novelty
yeah.
of it, and it's like
yeah, and it's like the like, fight of the century or something.
Somebody
like that.
Just like did like a little nod and was like, yeah, we saw that, you know.
No, it was Straight White Buffalo, which I'm kind of glad that he did,
yeah,
because
hilarious.
he's the perfect person to do that, where he's like, oh, I see what you guys are doing,
yeah.
Like you
and
know.
I thought it wasn't like rude or anything. It was just like it was direct, and I've heard there was some flack about it. And I'm just like,
people just kind of laughed about it in a way. Like, a bunch of us just were cracking up about the fact that it happened. Because we were just like, really? Like, would they would really do that, you know?
What are you
going
to take next? The mobster idea?
Yeah.
Or whatever?
Yeah, it's like, are you, well, I mean, there is a lot of that going on around the city, though. They're like, oh, let's have an art night. Oh, let's have this. Oh, let's have that.
Yeah.
So they're literally just taking each other's ideas because they're trying out everything now. To the point where, like, because they're just trying to make money. I mean, they're trying to make money. They're trying to keep their businesses afloat.
Unique. I think the most unique thing I've seen so far is Speakeasy's Mario Party, or Mario Kart with a backing band.
Mm-hmm.
That is the baddest ass shit.
So there's it's like playing on a big screen, and then
they got the drums and the fucking the flutes and like the
yeah,
and they're on the stage just like playing like a four player Mario.
Oh, that's cool.
It's fucking badass, dude. I don't think it's the actual music, but it's close enough.
Yeah,
and that's fucking dope. Just to like watch people play a video game with a band on the side, like, I don't know, man. There's some creative ideas out there, and I'm excited to see like what comes up.
Yeah, I mean, it's that's the whole thing. It's like you have to be original, and people will see through originality whenever it comes to like watching certain things happen. Whenever, you know, like the city, and they'll do an event, and then another venue would do the same event, and another venue would do the same event. Yeah. It's like the blowing up of like, you know, open mics, and I love open mics. I love the idea that like that they're just random artists are just getting up there and just playing them. It's almost like Nashville, you know, but whenever they do that stuff, it's like if every single place is doing it, just like karaoke, like if every bar is doing karaoke, then is it really like, I mean, are you going to go to that bar all the time? Because I go to the Grand Royale a lot more now. Yeah. And the reason why is because they do things that other places won't do. They'll play artists that other places won't. Yeah. They'll you know, she'll book bands. They book that one band. I think you were there that night, but I ended up having to leave because I went to my nephew's birthday. But that band that had like the fire drums and all that stuff, like
they were brilliant.
Yeah, that sounds awesome. Like that, and the videos were crazily awesome. Like it all looks freaking sweet.
With the karaoke thing, I think, you know, it's spread out enough that like people can walk to the bars and kind of have their own vibe going. I will admit that Tower is kind of killing it with what they're doing there. They got the lights. They make it look like an actual show.
Okay.
But I also like the fucking, the punk rock karaoke's that people do, you know, or just like something new and exciting. I haven't seen a hip hop one because I guess I don't know a lot of rappers.
Yeah.
Well, I mean,
well,
like,
I know if you look up
karaoke rappers.
I don't think many people have gotten up to do
doing
karaoke
some
rap.
Bone, you know.
Well, I mean, like that would be. Well, I mean, what would you call that? Like, would you consider? I mean, they're not rapping. I mean, I've seen people rap karaoke, like do rap songs in karaoke.
Yeah, that's what.
But
I'm saying.
But I guess like what my question would be like, what would be an like an open mic for rappers would probably just be like the freestyling,
bubbly slam poetry.
Yeah, like stuff. Or like free, which I like. Like I used to watch. What is it? The poetry stuff, Depp Poetry. I used to watch that a lot.
Nice.
So, I mean, that's really, really good. But yeah, like I don't know. I think it would be more like similar to like what you saw in like the 8 Mile movie. You know, it's like just people getting together, and I guarantee those things exist here.
Oh,
it's just people.
Don't,
I mean, because I know I had a
rap battles in this corner,
God, nobody it probably even knows what we're talking about because we're nerds. Like
everybody knows epic rap battles.
Epic rap battles.
Mustard versus ketchup. I'm a fucking I don't know.
But yeah, like
I was about to unload that motherfucker. Rhymes.
Rhymes. But yeah, so we're sitting at like 44 minutes. Do you want to play some music?
Totally. right. So I'm known for this band called Giraffe Massacre. It's myself, formerly Nick Morgan. We have these hiatuses all the time, but I think it's sticking. I'm kind of looking for a drummer as well, so if anybody hears this. But this is a new song I released with Tim from Speak Memory. It's called... what is it called? Side Effects May Include. It's a split EP. That's what it's called. Anyways, well, that's on Spotify and all streaming.
So what side effects may it include?
You know, I don't think these things through.
There was a band.
They're called Giraffe. My band's called Giraffe Massacre. I mean,
yeah, I mean, you're just going around massacring long-necked animals.
Not at all. I put pieces together, words, and fuck giraffes. I'm indifferent.
I led you down that path. I trapped you.
No. Yep. I will never admit that.
Yep, you're going to get canceled by zoos across America.
Oh, my gosh.
They'd be like, he's not allowed here. Why? Because he massacres giraffes. And you're like, and they're like, well, can't even go to the show at the zoo amphitheater. Because you might sneak off. You might sneak off and go find the giraffes.
There's tabs on all of my fans right now. Oh. PETA's is coming after them. Well. Animal
PETA.
Crackers.
PETA, like Family Guy PETA? PETA.
PETA. PETA Griffin.
PETA
no.
Griffin.
No.
Or what is it? Hunger Games. PETA! It's like stupid.
Did I let you inside of my house?
No, because I mentioned that movie.
Oh my gosh.
Such a great movie.
The Hunger Games?
No.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. I don't like that movie. It was just so commercial, man. Oh my god.
I like that movie Snowpiercer. That's a good one.
Is that supposed to be the pre or something?
It's just like it's a similar concept in a way.
Oh yeah.
In a way.
I don't know.
It's fucked up.
Make a whole other podcast about just talking about movies and shows.
Exactly.
Called Watch This Shit, you know.
Yeah. That. I think I know some friends that are going to do that.
Yeah. They're going to call it that.
Yes.
Watch this.
I don't even know how you knew that.
How do you know that they're going to call the show Watch This Shit?
Okay.
Jesus.
Anyhoozle.
Oh, man. So, did you talk about anything that was on your list? Because you said you had a list of things that you wanted to talk about.
I was going to... I was being interviewed. I was going to talk about who I was, like, where I...
Yeah, we
guitar,
did.
Like, yeah. My musical influences, people that I've met, work that I've done here in the city.
So, what work have you done here in the city? See, you got to give me these things so I know what to ask you. See,
I guess
if you want it to be planned, interview, yeah. And I don't do planned interviews, I do like off the sheet or pants of whatever we're talking about.
They're very good, 100%.
You know? But yeah, if you want to be more organized, then I already started my interview process, which is asking you, like, you know, how you got into music.
Oh, yes.
So, like, I mean, what bands have you played in that people would actually know around the city?
All right. Giraffe Massacre. Plastic Smile. Earth Made of Glass. Anomalous. Done some stuff with Elektra. What the hell did she call that? Annihilation Carousel?
That sounds awesome. Like, that's a cool name.
Then there's, like, earlier new metal stuff. Death of a Prophet. Collapse of the State. I guess those are most of the highlight ones, other than my cover band, my ghost tribute band, Pope Star.
Did you have to look at the... Yeah, it's a nice photo you got there.
Thank you. I made that. Yeah. It's kind of crappy, but it works.
It's an image of him. Like, in
other images of shows. I used to do a bit of stuff over at The Root. I had a contact from Austin that would send me international bands, like Jean Jean from France, a ton of Trio from Japan, Bear Cubbin came through. A lot of mathy stuff. I love math rock.
And what's the story behind that?
leftover nihilism from being a youngster. I still kind of feel the same way. I just don't drink.
If you're listening, you're not watching the video, because, like, you know, I'm trying to get into that concept of that. There's people doing multiple things while watching the show. He has this picture in here that has a bunch of writing on it, and it just says, like,
that's my
small
art.
Small letters. Is it? Did you make that one?
Drink. Yeah. Eat. shit, fuck. And all it's eat, fuck, shit, and all the shit between, which is drinking, shitting, and sleeping. And then you fucking repeat it, and then you've got existence.
Yeah, so it's just life. Like, that is literally a basically depiction of life.
Yeah. That's the brass tacks, man. But no, I don't feel that way.
Okay, so tell me a little bit about what you're doing nowadays with the Lost Highway.
Yeah, picked up a gig booking over there. I reach out for bands, negotiate a deal. I make flyers, do some PR work, run the page, the Instagram, and the Facebook. And then I also got a sweet deal running sound, too. Because most of the artists that we do over there, it's a bi-weekly short set. I think it's like an hour and a half, basically, plus the break. And then I run sound.
I guess my question would be to you, because, you know, you've been somewhat through the same
what is your question
type of coursing as I have been. And you're kind of in that environment, and you just now said you make flyers and you do all that kind of stuff. Whose responsibility do you think it is to promote a show?
Oh, yeah. It's definitely a combination of both, 100%. The bar has a reach, but your fans know you better. If you don't apply yourself, nobody's going to know, like your coworkers, your friends, your family, your whole support system. So you've got to share it. I'll make it for you. I'll make it accessible, but it's really good to post it at least, you know, once, twice a week. You might feel like you're annoying people, but you're not. And if you are annoying people, then those people aren't really your support system and they need to be dismissed. So I think it's a combination of both.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. See, cause I've always looked at it as that it's like everybody's involvement, like it's an example of like bartenders want it. Like a lot of them do this now, is that if they want people to come in the door to provide them with money, because that's their lifeblood. A lot of them do social media now. They do like, oh, I'm at work right now, come and visit me. And I've seen that with a lot of our friends,
especially up at Lost. Emma's really good about sharing on her profile because, you know, that's what it is. We want people to come in. We want people to watch your band. It's a whole ecology cycle.
I don't know what everybody. Any word you just said meant, because you went rah, rah, rah.
Yeah, I don't know how to say the
camera
word.
Stop recording again, man. I don't know what's up with that camera. Yeah. Oh, well. I got this backup over here, and I hope that was recording something. I don't know what the computer was doing, so I don't know if it's still recording or if it's not. I don't know what's going on. The softwares are all jacked up. I just need to learn how to do Well, the thing is, all these gamers, like, I need somebody that's a gamer that's really good with like Streamlabs, so I can just start using Streamlabs, because I'm not good at Streamlabs at all. Like, I did not know how that shit works. Like,
is that like
well.
A Twitch deal?
Like, I have a channel on Twitch for the Local Ear Shot, but the Streamlabs is the one software that is very easy, I guess. Like, once you learn how to do it, then it's really easy to manipulate. But like, problem is, they don't have a good they have that new Ultra for talk radio like that, so you can do recordings and stuff. I use Riverside, which is Riverside FM is like a software that I'm using right now, but that one's really good for remote. So if I do a remote interview, like if I was at my apartment, I talked to you from here, it'd be no problem. Like, I could get that started in a minute.
But I
can do that interview over remotely, but the whole problem with it is that when you're doing in room like this, you have to have the controller and everything else, because apparently they don't allow multiple cameras on their softwares. So the only way to get multiple cameras on the softwares is if you use Streamlabs instead, and you can bring in multiple cameras in Streamlabs. But you have to place their sizing on the screen, and you got to do all this other work that you don't normally have to do with these other softwares. You just load them up and go.
Interesting.
But you can set up Streamlabs where it has all those things already set. So, like, my DJ friend out of New York, Preethi, that DJs, she does Twitch, and she has all of her settings already set in her thing. So all she does is change her backgrounds for her green screen, she's good to go, and then she just DJs on it and stuff. And it's pretty badass to watch, like, because she has all these cool-ass backgrounds, like, going on, all these scenes in the background going on.
Very cool.
Stuff, but... But yeah, so you're booking over there, and like, that was one of those questions that keeps on coming up though with people, is that like, venues are, a lot of venues think that it's the artist's responsibility to bring people in the door, and I believe that it is, but I also believe that it's also their job to bring people in the door, because if they don't, then guess what? You don't have a business.
Yeah, yeah.
And the ones that aren't focusing on that, they're all slowly trying to find other things to do because they're going out of business. Mm. And they think that it's because the artists aren't doing it. And it's like, well, some artists, they even say like they're party bands and they're not going to promote anything. They're just going to come and play. So there's artists out there that are like that too, you know, that say that. But I believe that it's everyone. Another one that I didn't understand is the booking thing. And it's like questions about booking. So, one of the people that graduated from ACM, one of my friends, Nikki Jackson, she had a post and it was talking about how an in-house booker, they're being paid. They're a talent buyer. They're not bookers technically, but what they feel is that, well, I book the band, so I get 10%. They're in-house.
Mm, yeah, exactly.
Right? Like, they're not working for the artist. A booker's job that works directly with artists is to find venues and play at to book them, and then they get 10% because they work for the artist. They don't work for the venue.
We spoke about that a little bit earlier.
Yeah, and so it's like, well, what do you do in that situation where they're working for the venue, but then they expect to get money from the artist, and when in truth, the venue should be paying them, not the artist. And that's what she was talking about, that they were saying that the venue wasn't going to pay nothing to this worker that they get paid by the artist. And so they're basically making the artist pay for everything up front to play there. It's pay to play. And it's like, and to me, I'm like, cool. Well, then we'll just collectively make the artist never play your venue again until you go out of business. Because like, why should they be playing places where they're not making money, because you're taking all their money?
I don't know the full story with something like that. Like, I mean, you gave me elements of it, but hypothetically, suppose it was like a Live Nation or something, and they just happen to have a huge reach of some sort. Because I was listening to Ari's take recently, and I think it was like the Loaded Bowl or something, and he was really grilling this woman about like why they keep a percentage, and I forgot what it was exactly, but it related to like their poll and their action of what they're doing. I don't have an exact answer for that. I know, like, I will say, like, where I'm at, my bar pays me.
Right.
I don't take anything from, like, we just do a door deal straight up, and that's it.
Right.
And that money is yours. I don't get any of that shit. I want you to have it, because I'm a musician myself.
Right.
And I want it to be fair. I'm transparent. I've got it all in writing. And we'll go from there. But I can't even talk right now. Been drinking. There are some scenarios that would make sense, but I can't think of any right now, unfortunately. So I have no contribution, and I just wasted your time.
No, I just want to put that out there.
But I would definitely.
I just want to bring out the subject because I want people to
burn that place down. Yeah,
yeah. Like
just don't fucking play there.
Well, that's what I'm saying.
What is the perk of playing? So there? If there's a perk to playing there, and they like get you on like a higher level and sell more merch for you or something, or get you to the next level that you need to be, then maybe. But ultimately, no.
Yeah, and that's the way that I've always looked at it, is like that without customers, you don't have a business.
Mm.
And without if you're going to run a venue and you're going to call yourself a venue, then, you know, you probably should play by the same rules as almost 90% of the people across the country.
Yeah.
Because when you're making your own rules, which is what a lot of places out here do, because there's not a lot of regulation on it out here, they tend to push it in a way where like people feel that they are being taken advantage of, and a lot of times they are. And it's like, because they know that they don't know how it really works. And so they don't know that how they're supposed to get paid and all that kind of stuff. It's almost like another one that she had, that was a post that was about, what was it? Bands carrying their royalty licenses to play covers.
Bands carrying their
royalties. They don't, there's no such thing as this. But a venue asked the band if they had, like, okay, so, like, it's like this.
How does that, what?
Sorry. So, you know,
so
you know,
a venue,
okay,
has to,
so
have,
a venue has to have a license,
yes,
to be able to play.
You know, with, like, a PRO, like a,
yes.
And
so they don't get
if
sued.
If a band plays covers, then yeah.
Yeah.
You need to at least have one of them, like AMI or CSEC.
Right.
Or, but if a fucking, if it's their song.
Well, I'm saying, like, as in an artist, not for their songs. I'm talking about, like, a band that does cover songs, right?
Oh.
And a venue asked them if they
is that even
had
a thing?
If, no, the venue side of it, it is like the venues owning,
yes,
having a license to play like commercial music and all,
like,
that.
If
kind
I
of
walked
stuff
in with an acoustic and I was like, I'm going to play Wonderwall. Here's my,
yeah,
license.
No, there's no such thing.
Okay.
Yeah, there's no such thing as that in that way.
It's preposterous.
Like, and that's what I'm saying is that some venues are asking people if they have that stuff because they don't want to pay the money for the license,
yeah,
basically. And so they think that. Now, honestly, I feel like maybe they should. Like, I mean, if an artist is going to play covers, I feel like that they should have some type of license like that in existence just because then it makes it where that person is just taking care of the royalties on a big level. So everybody's kind of, the pot becomes really big, and the amount that you get from each person is lower, but collectively it's the same amount of money that you're going to make unless they're charging these people a flat rate for the venues. But, like, I don't know how that works because I'm still learning licensing.
Yeah.
But that's the one of the issues I run into with the podcast is that, like, you know, whenever you go through YouTube and you get hit with a content ID, the problem with the content ID thing is there is no real way to dispute it, and so there's no way to get your content up because there's no way to put the license directly on it. There's no document that I can have people fill out, and so, like, I have to make one up myself, and then I have to call and email somebody at this company or call YouTube and be like, hey, I have the license to do this, and then I have to go through a lot of red tape to get it played, or I have to remove all the music from the show,
yeah,
which defeats the purpose that this is a show that promotes music. And
yeah,
so that's the problem I'm running into with this show now, is that as it grows, I'm running into these new licensing issues because a lot of these companies are cracking down now. And so that, like they'll say, and most of it is coming from CD Baby, of all things, because they're a distribution channel. But there's no place it said, you know, you got hit with this copy thing. If you have permission, then contact CD Baby. Cool. I hit up the artist that had their music on my show, and I said, hey, can you go on your account on CD Baby and just, like, clear me or something to see if they're there? No, you can't do any of that. Which
no.
is the that means that the infrastructure, they pass these laws, and then there's no infrastructure to actually make it where you could do it digitally because they're so far behind, like,
yeah,
behind the tech. So, you know, and then so I'm like, that needs to be done. Like,
I
don't
really,
you know,
speak to that one. That one's just, like, so convoluted. I would assume that YouTube, it has the software to do it, but it's in their responsibility because it's their platform,
mm-hmm,
to take care of those things. But, like, just to clear something, like, even you playing this right now, like, you might get knocked up by, I forget who my distributor, I think it's, like, DistroKid.
Yeah.
Might be like, yo, what's up?
Right. And they might email you and you go, oh, it's fine.
Oh, really?
Yeah, sometimes they do that. That's what I'm saying. DistroKid does that sometimes. Well, they'll hit up the artist and they'll say, oh, yeah, I got a notification.
Well,
and
that would be convenient. That's perfect. But
that's what
then
I'm saying. That's all that needs to happen is just a notification from their company saying, hey, you were, like, there. And normally I don't run into it in this way. I don't normally run into it when, let's say, I put in the show, like, notes, and I put in, you know, David Carlisle in Draft Massacre, like in the band, interviewed.
Mm-hmm.
Then they'll look at that and they'll go, oh, okay, obviously the music in the episode is from that. But then when I start playing other people's music, like a playlist episode, those are the ones that got hit. I had them taken off of Spotify. I had them taken off of YouTube, like all sorts of ones. They blocked me and they didn't even let me put up the episodes. And there was no way for me to show that I had licensing, even though I got permission to play every song that I played from those channels. So I don't know. And
I don't know what to do with something.
So
like that.
I'm trying to figure it out, but.
Hello, dog.
Yeah, dog. So, but you want to wrap this up? Because I gotta go to do work for something. So
yeah, totally. This has been
all
fun.
Right.
This has been a good time.
Yeah, and I mean we'll definitely talk again because you know I always enjoy our talks about music and stuff.
Same.
But it's just I think you probably need to get more comfortable with this environment and also this room and stuff where we're trying to do there and. Well, that just cut off anyway, too. So we just lost the video of everything. Cool.
Oh, no.
Because things are just cutting off because of power and other things. That was totally power on that.
It's all good, man.
Anyway, so the Local Earshot Podcast, I run on the value for value system. That is time, talent, and treasure. I value everybody's time for listening. I know that there's many podcasts out there you could be listening to, but I'm glad that you chose to listen to mine. As for talent, if you're an artist and you want to be on the show, you can reach out to me at john@thelocalearshot.com. Or on the Instagram pages, Facebook, anything on social, just look us up and you can just message me or whatever. And then for treasure, if you want to donate to the show, you can go over to localearshot.com. There's a tab that says donate. Then you can just click on that. And there's a couple different options. I take Venmo, Cash App, and stuff like that. I am slowly moving the platform over to a different podcast platform. That one offers ads and stuff like that, because I figured that for a show like this involving the industry that I'm in, I'm probably going to have to go commercial with it because donations aren't really happening anymore. So I got to run it. So, but yeah, you have any shout outs or anything you want to talk about? You're just staring at the dog. Just decided to come in here and lay down in the center.
I'm surprised they didn't come in here sooner. No, this has been a blast. I look forward to doing it again.
All right.
And I love you.
Yeah. Is there any socials or anything
for
like
me?
That?
Yeah.
Just anything that you want people to know. And you know, obviously you don't want people to know your personal, but
just Giraffe Massacre. Give me money.
All right. Well, play their songs and then they'll get money.
Bandcamp,
yeah. Play on Bandcamp. They do actually pay artists more money than Spotify. And Spotify, just so everybody knows, pays the lowest industry rate. So if you use any platform other than Spotify and stuff, it would be so much better for everyone. Because, you know, I use Spotify because I have to. I don't like Spotify.
I'm not going to lie, I love it, but,
you know, it's just I love the idea. Like, for a listener side, it's fucking amazing. You just, like, $10 and play whatever the hell you want. But for the artist side of it, yeah, you know, there's a reason why the industry's taking a hit financially, is because, like, things like that are destroying the industry. So, but anyway, so thank you for listening, and I'll see you on this side.
Where are you going?
Where I'm going from here? I'm going to go feed animals.